And he spoke about how his Father is in heaven and how he is looking down on him. Now, this message is about hell, a lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone. It's also about heaven. Have you ever noticed that nobody, I bet you've never been to a eulogy when you heard the preacher speaking about the one who has departed, that he or she is in hell now. Everybody goes to heaven. Don't nobody go to hell no more. What'd you say? So anyway, base text that we're going to use. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, which is going to be our main base text, Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 13 and 14. We're going to hit 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and then we're going to try and end up and wind up in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Okay. So if we begin and we go to the Old Testament, and as the book of Romans tells us, that those things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience of the scriptures, that we might have hope. So, in the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse number 13, it says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Now, I don't know all of the things that are in this book, but I don't think I have at yet any time, and I'm going to ask Brother Gary and Ben and Wes and all these other preachers and studies in here, have you ever read about an enlargement in heaven? I haven't. But it's speaking about here an enlargement in hell. Let us together pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. We know this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And we understand that we're not here because of any good thing that we have done, but we're here because of the great thing that you did, and that you so love this world that you gave us your only begotten Son, that those believing in him need not perish, but having everlasting life. May the words that I speak always glorify you through Christ Jesus, and that they may give an edification as they build us up, as we await for you to take us from here to be in eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. We, your church and your body, do pray and we do say, amen. So, an enlargement of hell. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, it speaks about that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor hath entered into the heart of a man what God hath prepared for those. Words are important. Who truly love him. Okay. Now let's flip the script and turn that upside down and turn it around. So what do you think God has prepared for those who do not truly love him? I would like to say, because usually when you hear a message and you hear a second message, if they're speaking and coming forth from what the Word of God truly says, there's going to be some tie-in with what one minister says, what another minister says, because this book doesn't change. Now, earlier, we heard about a man at our service earlier who said, and I'm going to paraphrase it and put it in maybe a few different words, "I would like to think and I would like to say that everybody in here sitting on these pews is going to go to heaven." But we're not. I'd like to say that. Okay. But I don't believe, and I could be incorrect, every preacher who preaches would always like to have the expectation that everybody who hears what his words are going to get them to do what they need to do so they can get to heaven and not end up in a lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone. Okay? So now we need to speak just a little bit about this place that is called hell and that final destination, which is the second death, which is a lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone. Now here's something interesting. If you are born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. Okay? Now, this place that is called hell, there is an analogy and an application to hell and why hell is designated and made placed as a place that is created by God for the devil and his angels, and that's in Matthew 25 and 41. So that is to say that it was not created for you or for me. For the devil and his angels, that is why that place was created and it was made. It wasn't made for you and it wasn't made for me. So now the question is, why would you want to go to a place that was never made nor created for you? Because you're not supposed to be there. So when you do get there, play on words, you're going to be out of place because it wasn't created for you. In John 14, he says, I go away to prepare a place for you. And he says, if I go away, I will return, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may and will be with me also. So see, it's all about making a decision about where you want to be. Okay? Because many people have a huge misconception. God doesn't put you in hell. You put yourself in hell. By making the decisions that I am not going to follow what thus saith the Lord says to do. You want to do it your way, and many times your way is not the right way. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is nothing more than death and destruction. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes unto my Father except by and through me. And behold, I stand at the door and I knock. But you got to let me in because I'm not going to tear the door down. Because Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Now, back in the days, before we had the BFI, and the people who come and pick up your unwanted, your rubbish, and your trash, we would go out in the back and maybe we would light a fire and we would burn it. There's an application here. That is your rubbish and your trash. Those things that are of no other use to you. They have absolutely no value to you. They have been discarded, so you burn them. That is exactly what hell, or that lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone, is. It is God's trash den, where he rids it of himself and rids it by fire. But remember, it was never intended for you. Was it made for you? Neither was it created for you. And it is sad to say, Scripture always validates Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the overwhelming majority of people are not going to heaven. Let that just permeate The overwhelming number of people are not going to heaven. Go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We will start at verse number 13. And many of you, or many of us, we know the verses. If we are there. This is Jesus himself speaking. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. So when I speak and I say that the overwhelming majority of the people are not going to heaven, but they're going straight to a lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone, is not what I say, it's what this book says. Okay. So, most people are not going to get there. Okay. In 21, same chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we have cast out demons, and in thy name we have done many wonderful works. Look at my resume, Lord. You see all of the things that I have done? Now, when he's speaking about these people, have we not cast out demons? Have we not prophesied? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Who do you think he's talking about? Do you think he's talking about people outside the church or people who are inside the church? How many people do you know outside of the body of Christ that are going around teaching, prophesying, and speaking what the Word of God is? He's talking about people that are inside his church. I was talking to Brother Ben, and I asked him about some prepositions. Do we want to do things by God? Do we want to do things for God? Or do we want to do things with God? When he speaks about that, I never knew you, it speaks about that personal relationship. He says, if you love me, then do the things which I command you to do. Okay. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom which is of heaven. If the righteous scarcely get into heaven, what shall be the end them to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ? It is all about establishing and having a relationship between you through Christ Jesus unto the Father. Now, that final destination, which is, of course, the second death, because it's not created, neither made for any of us, but is made for the devil and his angels also. The individuals who will get there, who will be out of place, will be in the company of folks like Judas. Sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. People like Hitler. People like Saddam Hussein. Pedophiles. homosexuals, all of those effeminate and those things that are against what the Word of God says. Why in the world would anybody want to be in a place like that, in the company of individuals like that, for an eternity? All about decisions, and I'm thinking about the time factor too. You have heard this in a song. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and I go to hell, it's nobody's fault but mine. You see, because Jesus, through God, with a plan, came up with a solution so that we don't have to go to that place prepared for the devil and his angels. And you got to always remember something about that devil. He knows the Bible sometimes better than we do. He quoted it to Jesus in Matthew 4, second temptation, cast yourself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And all of the things that he will tell you to do or give you by suggestion, see, that's how Satan operates. Satan operates by getting up here in headquarters, where a computer center is. In other words, your mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Everybody's mind in here needs to be renewed, and so does mine. And if you're thinking that your mind does not need to be renewed, then you're lying to yourself. All of the poison that we see on that thing that is called a television, and now you don't have to go to the television because you can pull it up with your cell phone. You know something else about that cell phone? I heard 3 or 4 mentions a day. Now you're listening to this because you got to remember something about a preacher. Before a preacher preaches to the folks in the pews, he preaches to himself. If we thought more about our Bible than we did about that cell phone, we'd be a lot better. You ever notice that you go out your house, oh, forgot my cell phone, I got to run back in there and get it. How about, oh, forgot my Bible, I got to go back in there and I need to get it. Might have to call somebody up, might need to get a number that I can't remember. Go to the book of numbers in the Bible and find out and figure out some numbers that are up in there. And there's a multitude of other things, and I'm not going to knock it because it's a technological device and it's very good, but sometimes instead of looking up that scripture on the cell phone, why don't you just go to your Bible and open up your Bible and get some information out of there. I heard all that. But anyway, the message for today is, do not allow yourself to end up in a place where you're not supposed to be, where you don't fit with all of the degenerate and the worst things that are upon this earth, which is a fire that burns for eternity. And when that Bible speaks about you have not heard, you have not seen what God has prepared for you, the things that are spoken of in the Bible, in reference to the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, those are just metaphors to try and get our attention about how much you really don't want to be there. There is not a description that can be given that can give anyone a good, exact explanation of what it's like to be in a lake that burns with eternal fire and brimstone, or to suffer eternally because there is no more time. Time is gone. The time that we have right now, it's the time that God has given unto us. Every day that God allows you to wake up is another opportunity to allow you and myself to get your life right with God through Christ Jesus. Do not let that devil get up in your head and headquarters, because I know what he'll tell you, because he has talked to me and he still does. You ain't got to listen to that preacher. You all right. Don't go down into that watery grave of baptism. You all right, you're a good person. You don't even have to go to worship service on a Sunday morning. Ain't you kind of tired? You worked hard yesterday. Sleep in. You don't need that stuff. Remember, he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. He is miserable. And you know, misery loves company. He'll tell you all of these lies, and then when you get there, he'll tell you, should've listened. All of those preachers and all of those teachings and lessons in the Bible that you didn't listen to when I was telling you and lying to you. You should've listened, because when he tells you that, see, he's got you. And he knows you ain't going nowhere, and you belong to him. And the one third of those angels that he drug out of heaven with his tail when he got kicked out. See, because he has the thought, better than to serve in heaven, I'd rather be a ruler in hell. And he wants all of the company that he can get, because misery loves company. Don't you let him do that to you. If your life is not right, do those things which are right. He has given us an opportunity that when we do wrong, repent, every one of you, as he spoke in Acts chapter 2 and 38, when Peter was addressing them on the day of Pentecost. Repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Get your sins cleansed, because if you have one, you can't get there. And if you have not been, be added unto the church which is of Christ. And there is only one, and I am closing. And in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, upon this rock, he says, I'll build my church. Did he say churches, or did he say church? My church. Personal pronoun denoting ownership. Ownership, because it was bought with a price. Acts 20 and 28. It cost a plenty before there could be a day of plenty before there could be a day of Pentecost. It costed God a plenty. Do not allow that gift to be taken for granted. For if you are not right, get yourself right. If you have not become part of the body which is of Christ, which is his church, which is the only church, we're going to give you that opportunity now, as we together stand and sing.